You will see Tim's face on Monday. He can't be with us today from a physical sense, but spiritually and voicely, he is here. That's not a word. One of the faces of our hockey coverage, obviously, is Elliot Friedman of Hockey Night in Canada and Sportsnet. Mm-hmm. Friege, are you surprised one of us eventually just couldn't get online to do the TV show, yes or no?
Actually, my only surprise is that both of you couldn't figure out how to do it.
That's what I surprised you. The both of you couldn't figure out how to do it.
I think you screwed that one up, but I'm not going to throw stones from my glass house right now. I'm just going to walk away from it.
I got to tell you, you guys doing? My goal on every time I come on this show is to get Sid to do that voice once. So we're good now. Like, I don't even have to try the rest of this hit.
Mission accomplished. Well done, Friege. Mission accomplished.
How you guys doing over there?
I'm good. How are all you guys doing?
Good. Good. Yeah, other than the fact that I can't figure this bleep out, I'm good. Good.
I'm oddly getting used to it, Friege. Is that weird? Is that a weird thing to say?
No. I mean, it's going to be... Like, I do miss being around, like, the guys and the people that we work with, like, ripping each other. I miss that. But it's going to be strange when we get back together and seeing, you know, the people I work with at the studio, you know, the Brian, Kathy, the producers, Dave, Ron, Kelly, whoever, the on-air people. It's going to be weird being around anyone that isn't, like, directly related to me. It's going to be very strange.
Yeah, it will be. Elliot Friedman joining us here on Tim and Sid. He, of course, Hockey Night in Canada and 31 Thoughts. And 31 Thoughts, another great read today. If you're not reading it, you're doing hockey wrong, especially right now. I know the PA took their ideas to the executive committee over the last 24 or so hours. What's the latest that you're hearing?
Well, I believe it's going to pass. You know, I don't think it's going to be unanimous. I don't know if it's like 20, like 10 teams that voted no, but I think there were a couple at least. But I think that I think the thing that I really believe is that whatever issues that the players do have, and they do have some issues, number one being 24 teams and the fact the regular season has not been rewarded enough, I think they're just going to hold their noses and they're going to vote for it. I don't know if they'll announce the vote. I was hearing it was pretty lopsided, but there were some teams who did vote against it.
Considering Edmonton would get Chicago in that first round format, considering Pittsburgh would get Carey Price on rest in that first round format, I don't know this, Friege. I'm assuming maybe Edmonton-Pittsburgh were no's on the format. Any indication on whether or not that happened?
I wouldn't be surprised if Pittsburgh was one. I mean, the Edmonton thing, the thing that kind of was interesting to me about it is one of the guys who's on the committee is Connor McDavid. Right. So I think it's, you know, it's pretty interesting and maybe a compliment to McDavid, too, that he was willing to put his himself in there and agree to a format that might hurt his team a bit. So I don't know if Edmonton would be against it. I suspect, you know, I heard that, I think that it's fair to say that some of the teams that were most upset were teams that were in the top 16 and saw their percentages go down. So I would say Pittsburgh would be one. I think Carolina would be one. And I think you just look at, I don't know about Edmonton, because like I said, McDavid was on the committee. But it would be interesting to see, like, who felt that way on the West side. I think the other thing that we don't know yet, I know one player told me, guys, that he doesn't see any way that Boston should be allowed to fall out of the number one seed. He said, and he knew that there were some players who felt that in those round robin games between the top four, there were definitely some guys who felt that the only teams that should be allowed to move are teams that could have been caught. Like, if you look at the West, Colorado was 2 points ahead of, I was 2 points behind St. Louis with a game in hand. Like one guy said, if you could show me a way that Colorado could legitimately catch St. Louis, okay. But he said that nobody should be allowed to catch Boston. But I don't know how that all works yet. I know that was definitely something that guys were grumbling about too.
You know, when you go through the stages of grief, at the end, you just come to acceptance, right?
Yeah.
And we're almost, like, I feel like, You know, obviously Boston, because they were, what, 10 points clear when this was all said and done, or when we hit pause, that you don't want to see them fall out of the one spot. But that means that their three games would be useless in the round robin, and you don't know how they would play, or if a guy got hurt, how mad they would be at that. Like, eventually, you just have to kind of hold your, like you said earlier, just there's got to be an acceptance. You got to hold your nose and just say, okay, this is what we've got to go with, because none of this is ideal, right?
Well, that's true. And I think at the end of the day, we all knew that the solution was going to be imperfect. And, you know, at some point you just have to say, all right, screw it. This is our idea and we're going with it. And, you know, hey, let's be honest, guys. Some of this is our fault, because I have no doubt that TV voted for certain teams. And that's certainly a factor in all of this, too.
Yeah,
Friege,
Chicago's market is important. Yeah, in the States,
a huge market, and Montreal for Rogers Communications would be an important market at some level, right? I'm starting to wonder here, Friege. I don't know if you agree with me. If Boston don't have that number one seed, I think Brad Marchand might have a chip on his shoulder. I think this might really set him over the edge.
I think there'll be a specific no licking rule, so he'll have to come up with something else. But, you know, I think the thing is, about your point, I actually have to say, Tim, that maybe the reward should be that Boston does get to take those games easy. Like, why shouldn't they have a situation where they can, you know, say, okay, you know, we still need to get our guys warmed up. You know, Marchand himself did a Zoom hit with Boston reporters, and he said that one of the things they've talked about is they're a bit of an older team. Will this be a disadvantage to them? And maybe that should be a reward. You get to play Bergeron maybe two times, and you play him 15 minutes one game and maybe 20 the next, and your game doesn't matter. But it's not, I don't think it's trending that way.
Right. Listen, everyone, I know we don't have a ton of time here, but I want to get like a couple more questions in here. And everyone's health and safety needs to be taken into consideration. Everyone, from the from the head coach walking behind the bench to the players, and I understand that. But seeing as we don't know a hell of a lot about this disease still, and we're learning as every day goes along, do you think that the PA and their leadership might start asking for long-term guarantees about players' health and safety? Like, if in fact they participate in hockey during a pandemic, could they be asking for something like the NFL has, where, or the NBA has, excuse me, where they say we want health insurance for the rest of our life, especially for those who play in the States and live in the States?
It's a good question. I don't know the answer to it. I know that all of these questions are being discussed, and I'm a big believer in, if one league's talking about it, they're all talking about it. I can tell you today, because I heard it from a couple of people, I believe that one of the things that's kind of been talked about today, in addition to the vote, is the decision of that Chelsea player not to play.
N'Golo Kanté. Yeah, for those who don't know the story, N'Golo Kanté passed out in training for Chelsea a few years ago. He believes he is at risk. He had a brother who passed away because of a heart attack. He's had a history in his family, and there is some thought in England that one of the most important midfielders in England just will not return for this Premier League season. Forgive me, Friege. Go ahead.
No worries, but I'm glad you explained it, because you did that better than I could have. And Sid, I think that and Tim, I think that's still an unanswered question. Like, you know, and that's the thing. Like, hey, this, we're getting closer to a playoff format, but that doesn't mean that all the other questions have been thrown away. Those questions still have to be answered.
So Friege, how much talk has there been given to, like N'Golo Kanté of Chelsea today? What if I just don't feel safe coming back, period, and I have made that call? What happens to the player? What happens to his contract?
Well, I honestly don't know the answer to that question. I've asked it, and you know what, Sid? At this point in time, all I've been told is that's still being discussed. You know, one thing that we're kind of talking about here, although it's slight gray area now, is for the most part these are going to be playoff games, right? So players might not get paid for them. I assume they're not going to be paid for them, because they already received their final paycheck was due, and they're still deciding what to do with that. It was in April. So I think that actually might make things a little bit easier, because a player isn't receiving salary for this area now. But to give you a specific answer, all I've been told is it's still worked on, although certainly they are aware that players are concerned. And it's not only players, like executive coaches are older, are older, you know, people in the trainers, the equipment guys, all of this is being discussed.
Last one, I liked in 31 Thoughts, Jeff Jackson, the agent's idea about a 7-pick draft comprised of the teams that don't make the 2014 playoff. Does that have a shot?
I don't think so. I will tell you this. I got a lot of really funny texts about more than normal about this week's edition. And some guys really liked his idea and some guy hated it. But the best response I got this morning was from a player who said, I'm trying to decide which one I hate more, the switch of the first round draft picks or the 7-person draft. It's so hard to decide which one.
Wow. I like the 7-person draft, but whatever.
I
loved it too. I thought it was a different idea. And you know what the other thing too, Tim, is those teams aren't going to play for 9 months.
No.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do to keep them in their market's eyes?
Right. To keep them relevant.
That's what Eugene Melnyk was saying over the weekend. Like, there is a need for a lottery in his eyes. There is a need for a draft in certain markets in his eyes. I mean, we're talking Ottawa. We're talking New Jersey. These aren't the biggest markets in the National Hockey League. I understand that. But still, it's a thing that fans can get excited for. I don't agree with Eugene on a lot, but I kind of agree with him on that. Friege, we appreciate you, man. I have a feeling you're going to be by your phone a lot this week. Well, you're by your phone all the time. But as you're sitting in your backyard on what should be a very, very nice weekend in Southern Ontario, I think you're going to be texting and tweeting a lot as you sit having a cerveza in your backyard.
Well, that sounds like a fun weekend. Thanks, Sid.
All right, buddy. Be well.
Thanks, brother.
All right. Take care, Sid. Tim, guys, have a great weekend.